Fantastic. Welcome to the show, everybody. We did it. Yes, we can. Yes, we can, motherfuckers. Oh, I'm so much not happier. Now I'm just confused about what's going on. How you doing, Peter? Peter and Nathan are the bands this evening. We've been doing this new thing where we just have on random people that play random instruments, like a talk show. There are two things that happened this week, ladies and gentlemen. Two things that happened this week that have shaken my foundation in what is right and what is wrong in the world. Two things that will never be the same. One of those things is awful. One of those things should have never happened. And the other one is amazing, and now I'm kind of positive about everything. The first thing happened today, and the first thing really bummed me out. And that's it's about Representative Gabrielle Giffords. I'm not making fun of her, I promise. One of the Democratic congresswomen from the great state of Arizona horribly attacked in January. 9 months later, we're definitely going to benefit from that because the Republican GOP is raffling off the exact same type of gun that shot her in the skull. Could we please clap for the Arizona GOP? Can we hear it for them? Yes, they can shoot people in the face. It's awesome. No, it's the opposite of awesome. It's actually the worst thing ever. And they're defending it by saying she was a real advocate of gun control. The key word in that sentence being control. That happened today, and I'm really bummed out about that. And there's really no like silver lining to that because it's an awful tragedy, and hopefully it never happens again. But something happened in the entertainment world that maybe can write what went wrong in Arizona. Jack White, arguably the coolest rock and roll musician in the aughts. The last decade belonged to the White Stripes, it belonged to Jack White. He had the Rock on Tours, he had the White Stripes, he had the Dead Weather, he had looking like Michael Jackson during the last 5 years of his life. All these things positive, all these things going for Jack White. He decides to collaborate with his musical idol, Loretta Lynn. Fantastic album. He's won a ton of Grammys. Loretta Lynn is back on the map. She's selling out rooms across the nation. That's a fantastic thing. But then the holes start to appear. The first one being his very important collaboration with Alicia Keys for a James Bond film. Did you ever hear that song? No, there's a reason. It's awful. Things started going downhill. White Stripes broke up. He entered his second marriage, and now he's got kids. Kids cost money. You know who has money? Another group from Detroit. A very important group from Detroit. A group from Detroit that I'm kind of a fan of, except their music. Here's why. This group from Detroit supports an entire town in Michigan. All of their merchandise is made in the United States of America. That's awesome. Like, honestly, that is an amazing thing. They are a self-sustaining economy. Good for them. They also produce music videos and films, another industry where people are making money. That's awesome. They also run their own record label, and they sign their friends, and that's so cool. And guess what? They have a festival every year, and it's also in the Midwest, and that's awesome. All these cool people do these things, and that's not even it. They have a wrestling league. Are you kidding me? How many people is this group employing? This is amazing. How could a group like this possibly be bad? That group, ladies and gentlemen, Insane Clown Posse. Insane Clown Posse and Jack White have teamed up. Have you heard? Oh, I've heard, and I love it. I love it, love it, love it. I wrote a column for Brightish Young Things. This is not bragging because I don't get paid to do that. I wrote a column for Brightish Young Things, and I did the worst thing that anyone could possibly do whenever they write anything, which was read the comments after what you wrote. And a very adamant Jack White defender said he's sold out. Another Jack White defender said, you guys don't get it, man. He's fucking punk rock. You guys are fucking idiots. And you know what? I agree with that guy. I do get it. I am totally pro Ich bin asshole or something like that. It's Lick My Asshole. The song is called Lick My Asshole, and that exists in the same week that the Republican GOP wants to shoot more congresswomen in the face. So here's my point. Let's see if I can tie this together. No. We're somewhere in the middle. This talk show is somewhere in the middle between shooting a congresswoman in the face and an ICP Jack White collaboration. We're not changing the world like ICP. We can't. By the way, ICP, here's the one problem I have with ICP. No joke. I totally am down with the clown and all that. and the axes and whatever. I get it. You're 14. You're sad. You're alone. You're probably overweight. You found somebody. That's fantastic. I'm not going to make fun of you for that. But that fucking song, Miracles, that put them back on the map. That's the worst thing ever. They don't believe in science, ladies and gentlemen, which is almost as bad as shooting a congresswoman in the face. We're in the middle, okay? So we're pro-science. By the way, if you're here, you're pro-science. I don't care if you're not. You're pro-science. You're pro-talk show, which I'm a big fan of. And you're pro-collaborations with interesting people. And you know what? This talk show is just one big interesting. Oh, man. I should have drank more water. Interesting collaboration. And we're going to have a fantastic time tonight. I'm so glad all of you can join us. We have Mab, just Mab. We have Samson. Samson is fantastic. If you don't know who Samson is, you'll find out very soon. And we have music from Dan Sherman from Deleted Scenes. Peter and Nathan, take it away, gentlemen. There you go.
Hey, everybody, thanks for listening to the show. I really appreciate it. I'm butting in to let you know that I write a weekly column for this website called Brightest Young Things. The name of the column is called Behind the Desk, and it's pretty much whatever is applicable to this talk show or talk shows in general, things that I find fascinating. It goes up once a week at brightestyoungthings.com, and you can find every column at youmethemeverybody.com. So if you haven't been to the website in a while, that's an excuse to go. Once again, it's called Behind the Desk. It's a weekly column I write, and I'd really appreciate if you gave it a glance. Thanks for listening, and back to the show.
All right, just stop. Just stop that. That was awful. Were you playing a out-of-tune version of What's Going On by the Floor Non Blondes?
Yeah, that was it.
Do you know who was in Four Non Blondes, right?
Brunettes.
That was actually pretty clever. Good job, Peter. No, that songwriter who went on to be a shining songwriter for like Christina Aguilera and Pink and all that crap.
Yeah, Lisa Loeb?
No, that's not funny. It is kind of funny. Nice crowd, nice crowd. Peter, you're actually a producer of the show, and you've been trying to give me notes for months now, and I don't take heed to any of them.
That's true. You're very pig-headed. But I think I have a really good one for you, dude. Do you guys know the website McSweeney's?
Yeah.
You know, they're having a column contest right now. And I just think you would really... They're, like, having a contest where people can, like, become one of their columnists. And I think... I mean, have you heard about this? Do you know about
no,
this?
No, I don't know about this. Okay. I know McSweeney's.
Right. So that you, I just think it would be really good for the show if you were to become a columnist.
Okay. I take a picture
of you. If you're to become a columnist for McSweeney's.
What kind of stuff would I write in my column?
Okay. Check it out.
Stop saying things like check it out and dude. You're losing all sorts of credibility.
I'm a professional podcast producer. I don't know.
Yeah.
This is a lingo. And I don't know. Have you heard... first of all, have you heard about the blues?
Wait. The musical genre?
Right. I just think that there's not a lot of blues columns. I think you might. I mean, have you considered? You're from Chicago.
Yeah.
The home of the blues. I think you'd be really.
Have we ever talked about the blues?
I mean, I figure like everything you say is like the blues, man.
Okay.
No, like in a cool way, like in like a B.B. King way, you know.
B.B.
Like
King has diabetes and is from Memphis and never lived in Chicago. Don't play guitar.
But. So you don't like that idea?
I don't like that idea.
The other idea that I had was you're engaged, right?
I am engaged. I'm engaged to a lovely woman.
Okay, so there's like a lot.
Damn
Let's
right.
Give a hand for the... That's dude, check it out.
Stop saying that!
What if you wrote... you know how there's like sex blogs?
Yeah.
But there aren't sex blogs for like couples that are like have been together for a long time. So you could do like a sex blog with the same person every time.
Why?
I mean, it's McSweeney's.
Okay.
They like things that are pointless.
Do you have anything else?
That's it.
You were not prepared for this whatsoever.
Nope.
Let's bring up our first guest. Peter Heineman, everybody. This woman is a freak show performer. This woman is a sideshow performer. This woman scares the hell out of me, and she's the definition of true entertainment. Please put your hands together, everybody, for Mab, just Mab.
Before we start with Mab, two things. One, that sounded like every song I played in high school. And number two, Scout Mob is here and they're giving away free High Life, so you should definitely go sign up with them. They are the people in the bar with the tablet, because that always looks natural in a bar, just random people with glowing lights in their face. Mab, how are you?
I am well. How are you doing?
I'm okay. I have one question for you.
Just one.
Just one question, but it's over a long period of time, and I had to get my phone to work correctly. You're an interesting human being.
That is actually very true.
And for the listener at home, how would you describe your dress?
My dress, what I'm wearing?
Yes.
I would say it would be punk, clown, goth, freak, with a little side of circus.
Okay, when did you start dressing like this? Do you always dress like this, or is only when you're going to be performing?
Let's see. Well, to protect my secret identity,
I dress like this
all the time.
I don't actually know your name.
That is correct.
I'll never find out.
You never know.
What if I give
you,
like...
Unless you're writing me a check.
Oh, you don't have an LLC or anything like that? Or is it...
That is confidential information that I am not free to disclose at this point in time.
Fair enough. Here's my one question. Why?
Oh, my God. I actually get asked that question a lot.
I wonder why.
Why do I do it? In fact,
we're going to go through the giant list. Let's go. These are the skills that you can do.
Okay, go ahead.
First thing is a bed of nails.
Bed of nails, yes.
Walking on a bed of nails, laying on a bed of nails.
I usually just lay on it and
okay,
do
other why?
Things. Okay, why bed of nails or why in general?
Both.
Okay. What I do is a demonstration of what people can do if they really put their mind to it. And I tell people that I have superpowers, and one of my superpowers is I can find the shortest lane in a toll booth, and I can walk on broken glass. Awesome superpowers, I think.
Wouldn't shoes do the same thing?
You know, they would, but then it would not be anywhere near as impressive.
Fair enough. You could escape from a straitjacket.
I can escape from a straitjacket, which actually has come in handy more than once.
Maybe she should write the column for McSweeney's. You have it says blockhead. What does that
blockhead?
Mean?
Blockhead? Oh, that's where, that's actually one of the more traditional sideshow feats. It was made famous by Melvin Burkhart, and it's where you hammer a spike into the center of your skull.
Of course.
Yeah, actually, it's one of those things that anybody can do. Most people can only really do it once, actually.
The theme of this entire interview is people can do all of these things,
yep.
But they probably shouldn't.
They probably shouldn't, and if you want to, just come over to my house. I'll totally show you how to do it.
Fire eating seems to make the most sense out of anything on your list.
Oh, it makes the most sense. That's funny you mentioned that, because that's actually probably one of the most dangerous things I do.
Well, if Gene Simmons could do it, I mean, come on.
And lethal. Yeah.
Has anything gone awry during fire eating?
During fire eating? You know, sometimes I get hired to do entertainment at, like, openings and shows and stuff like that. And they're like, oh, we're going to do it on a roof, and we need you to eat fire on a roof in D.C. on one of those big, tall skyscraper things.
Okay.
And I don't know if you guys know this, but on roofs, it's very windy up there. And so I'm like, I don't know. And we're paying you a lot of money. You're going to eat fire. I'm like, okay. So the wind died down for, like, 30, 45 minutes, and I'm like, I think I can do this. And I go to eat fire, and the torch is, like, right there in my face, and the wind kicked up, and it blew, and it went right up my nose. Now, if you think it's bad when you snort milk, this is the complete opposite and 10 times as worse.
Because it's fire.
Yes. Yes. And actually, interestingly enough, people actually ask me, is that fake fire?
Could you do that with fake fire? Is this fake fire exist?
You know, like...
Is
if
that just a light
made
bulb?
Fake fire, I would be using it.
It's a light bulb.
No, it's fake fire. It's like that little thing with the feathers and the fan.
You should get those.
Yeah, because that's awesome.
Yeah, they could. It's cute.
You know,
Zooey Deschanel does that on her new show, The New Girl.
Oh, you know what? And everything that Zooey does is brilliant.
What do you think is going to get canceled first, The New Girl or Whitney? Thank you. Whitney's the correct answer, everybody. Bug eating.
Bug eating, yes.
Why?
Why?
That's something everyone could do, but no one should.
Yeah. And that's one of those ones that even makes me kind of oogie.
What kind of, do you know the bugs you're going to eat every time, or is it just like, this is what I'm going
to
eat?
And that's funny, because I have to go to the pet store to get them.
What tastes the least bad? Grasshoppers?
No, actually, they're pretty good.
Yeah.
They're pretty good. I'm going to say superworms taste really bad, because I sent somebody out to get superworms, and what those are, they're like, what is that, 3 inches?
Sure.
Thanks.
Audio podcast, it doesn't matter.
They're about 3 inches, and they have a billion legs, and the hard shell, and, that's right, pinchers.
Could you feel them going down your throat?
Well, you bite them down, you crush them in your teeth, and they taste terrible, and, they bite.
When you're going to do that, will you get wasted before you do it?
You know, technically speaking, to anybody who's listening, no.
Okay, fair enough. See, here's the thing that scares me the most. Balloon swallowing.
That one was scary the first few times I did that.
Which leads me to the second part of the why question is, how does someone get started in any of this besides a horrible accident?
That is actually the second most popular question I get asked.
Well, there's a reason.
Yeah. So hopefully this will just clear it up for everybody, okay? I got started because I was hired to play music for a circus. And while I'm on the road, I'm like, let me build a bed of nails, because that's what you do when you're on the road. And then...
Nope. That's not what you do when you're on the road.
What?
I was just on the road.
Nobody told me. They said that's what everybody
There's
does.
A lot of checking Twitter. You do that a lot. You eat fatty foods a lot.
We drank a lot of beer and made beds of nails.
No.
And then ate fire.
They're good.
You run with circus performers, you learn a few things.
Why, sir? What interested you about being a circus performer?
Again, it's pressing the human to do incredible things. And it's pushing myself to do things I would never do. And, you ever sit there and you go, I'm going to go and... I don't want to do that. I'm too scared. I'm too nervous. And this is, kind of terrifying. Uh-huh. And I'm not going to do it. And you either have that choice of doing it or not doing it.
I chose
to do it.
Have you ever not accepted a dare?
Hold on. I'm thinking.
No, this is your life. you would know.
Very rarely, but I can't definitively say.
That's fair.
But I can't recollect off the top of my head a time that I have said, I'm not going to do that.
That's a really bad way to live if you're trying to date anyone ever.
Are you kidding? Guys love such. Did you not see the balloon swallow? It's on the internet.
Yeah. Once again, things that you can do on the internet with your mouth doesn't necessarily mean a healthy relationship at home.
Oh. Did you see how long the balloon was?
Doesn't. Once you come, what are you going to do then? I mean, come on.
I can also cook.
Not you. Oh, that's very nice.
Yeah.
Is your house kept very clean? What?
Okay, I will say there is one thing that I'm not very good at.
Is that cleaning house?
Well, it's not my fault.
Why is it not your fault?
I'm on the road a lot.
So shouldn't it be easier because there's less mess to clean up?
No, it's like you come home. And you empty the car and sleep. And then you go, this next door is this, that, and the other. And then you pick and choose from the big pile that's in the middle of the living room. Okay, I'm saying you. What I really mean is me. I actually am the one that does that.
I understand.
And then load up my car, and then I go again. And then I come back, and I go, who fucking trashed my house?
What guides you to figure out what to do next? Is there a plan for a circus performer? Is there a tier system of success? How do you figure out what's your next bit? Do you consider them bits? How does this work?
I do call them bits, actually.
Okay.
Yeah. I say, what can I not do right now?
Clean house.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Who's going to pay to see me clean house? I have cute outfits. Anyone? Okay, so that's off the list.
That's fair.
Now, who would pay to see me drink Windex? Huh? Oh, there's some people. They're like, that's disgusting. I would pay money to see that.
What wouldn't you drink?
Okay, that's a good gauge. What would I drink?
What would you not drink?
What would I not drink? Tequila.
I'm with you.
Look, man, I have to draw the line somewhere. It's bad.
ever since
everyone has said it's awful. How long have you been doing this?
I've been doing Sideshow for 5-6 years, mm-hmm. you know, but I've been doing all kinds of different performances for like 15.
Burlesque is part of that?
That's actually a really good question. If you want to think of like the tiers and mm-hmm. the, I don't know, what is it, the genus and the classifications and stuff, the big umbrella is called variety. I'm a variety performer. And underneath that umbrella, you have circus, sideshow, burlesque. And we're all about, you know, and then, like, exotic dances and that kind of thing.
I'm just taking
Internet.
A photo, yeah. I would think that the burlesque, like, you're way above the burlesque performer. I mean, it's so hard and almost be naked compared to, like, eating fire.
Oh, yeah. Shh, don't tell the burlesque artists.
Who do you like to perform with? What's your ideal bill?
Oh, yeah, that's
They have to be alive.
They have to be alive?
Yes.
And, well, you're not asking who was my favorite performer. You're asking
who would you want to share a bill with?
Well, because I'm, like, really into the circus and sideshow thing. If I could ever perform with the Yard Dogs, that would kind of rock my face off.
Okay.
And I would be super stupid fangirl and probably not even be able to perform at that point.
Yard Dogs.
The Yard Dog Roadshow? You don't even...
No.
Good God, people. Where is your education?
I was listening to ICP all day. I mean, and enjoying it.
That will make it come out your ears.
Yeah,
won't it?
Yeah, I'm bleeding.
Sorry.
We're going to ask you a question from the Book of Questions, Love and Sex by Gregory Stock, PhD. It is an awful book. I need you to pick a number between 13 and 228.
228? Oh, golly. Let's say 111.
Why 111?
Because it's got a bunch of ones in it.
That's fair. We retire the questions. 111.
I like where you're going with this.
Are you willing to change your appearance to make yourself more attractive to your partner, or do you feel your partner should love you just the way you are? For example, how much are you willing to modify your hairstyle or change the way you dress? Really quick, wouldn't that be implied in the first part of the question, Gregory Stock, PhD? Piece of shit.
Well, I mean, if this means, like, I get to wear a French maid outfit while I clean my apartment, I'm totally down with that.
Okay.
Yeah.
What about your hair?
What about my hair? Yeah, sure. Why not?
You're very easy to get along with.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if the sex is good. Yeah. I have standards. I'm not so willy-nilly that I would just change my hair arbitrarily. I've got to be getting laid really well.
What if he's rich? Or she's rich? I don't want to judge. What if they're rich?
How rich? I mean, we've already established what I am. Now it's
50,
just...
like, DC rich. Like, seven figures, but, like, probably lives in the burbs or something and has a shitty life to me, but I'm really jealous of, nonetheless.
He probably would be, actually. I get that a lot.
What?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, let's out somebody. Come on.
I'm not actually going to name specific names, but I get, like...
Give us really clear clues.
Businessmen... Like, guys that are like, hey, I pulled up in my Jag. And I'm like, those things break down all the time. You're obviously an idiot. No offense to anybody.
Yeah, because the Wonderland Ballroom on a Friday night. A lot of rich people here.
They want to live vicariously through the crazy, freaky sideshow girl.
I don't want to live vicariously
anymore. That's cool.
I just...
I respect that.
I don't.
No, it's not for
I got
everybody.
A lot to aspire to.
Yeah, well, you know, you take your little
I want to date
adventures.
One of those guys, okay?
Little adventures when you do, like, oh, hey, today I'm going to switch from decaf to calf.
No.
No?
No.
Okay, I'm going to go to whole milk today.
That's
too much for you?
No, not enough.
Oh, not enough.
Not enough.
Today I'm not going to wear underwear.
Doesn't matter.
Okay. Today,
I'm not single. Who cares?
No hair gel.
I don't care.
Oh, really? That's not even the line.
I'm in the middle.
Really?
I'm such a boring dude.
No, that's not boring. If you don't wear hair gel, that's living on the edge.
I can go both ways.
I've
got pomade in my hair right
now.
I've heard. Yeah. Pomade. Hear all you want.
No, I wrote half of those.
This is getting weird.
Myself. Yeah.
Time to plug.
Oh, actually, yeah, that's great. I like where you're going with this. I'm going to be doing... yes, I do perform a lot in the D.C. area, and actually next week on Wednesday, I'm going to be performing with the sweater set.
That's on the 7th?
Yes.
Yeah,
And I love them. They are awesome. And it is going to be in a pretty
Katie Balloons
show.
Is also on that show.
I know. Isn't
Guest
she amazing?
The show. Yes,
she
I
does
do.
These crazy things with balloons. And then on that Friday night, I think it's the 9th, I'm up in
No, you can't plug. We're here at the Wonderland Ballroom. You can't come to that show.
And then the big one is I'm actually doing a benefit for uninsured variety artists. That's right.
Wait. Here's a better question. Are there any insured variety artists?
I'm going to tell you a secret, okay? You can't tell anybody.
No.
You cannot broadcast this on the internet. There are some variety artists who have day jobs. Shh. Yeah, we have to do what we have to do. But sometimes there's people who get hurt, not related to their crazy jobs, and, you know, you got to have a little something.
Fair enough. And where is that show?
That's going to be at the Red Palace on the 16th. And we're going to have a full bill of crazy entertainment. It's going to be burlesque, sideshow, magic, circus, clowns.
And all that info is at your site?
Yeah, actually, I'm going to have that on my site. And
the site is?
MabJustMab.com.
And that's how you plug, ladies and gentlemen. Please put your hands together, everybody, for MabJustMab.
You, Me, Them, Everybody wants to thank you for listening and also for subscribing to us on iTunes. We can always use the extra support, though, so why don't you say something nice about us on iTunes? Go ahead, give us a 5-star rating. This type of thing helps us out a lot and doesn't cost you a dime. Thanks again for listening, and now back to the show.
Starting to like this duo we got up here. We've graduated to my freshman year of college music. It's pretty good. All right, this is the first booking I've ever done via an open mic. Yes, people, one positive thing has come from one open mic ever. This is the only thing ever that's come from this. He's one of my new favorites, and hopefully he will be yours soon. Please put your hands together, everybody, for Samson, everybody. Samson's coming to the stage. Play him on, gentlemen.
How y'all doing tonight? Y'all doing all right? All right. This is wonderful. Like, I'm so happy. Like, I survived the calamities last week. Like, that was wonderful. Like a fucking earthquake. I didn't know what the fuck was going on. I'm from North Carolina. We're not used to that shit, okay? And then there was I don't know what type of storm that was, but it was some bullshit, okay? I mean, like, I didn't know it was going to be some bullshit, but it's like I was in the house, like, I was freaked out because I went to the grocery store. You couldn't get anything. You'd have thought it was Black Friday in there. And it was just, I survived that whole weekend with a rotisserie chicken and a bottle of alcohol, okay? So it's like, I'm doing some big shit, okay? Like, I don't know. Like, it really messes me up because, you know, they got, like, Michelle Bachmann and all these other crazy people running for the GOP seat. Like, and some of the shit that they say is just amazing, okay? It's like she said that was God's warning that we need to get our lives together, okay? I'm so glad that God is focused on taking back the East Coast, okay? Like, really, like, this shit is amazing. Like, I don't know, like, and they blame a lot of this stuff on the gays. That's what they say. They say a lot of gay people cause these type of things to happen, like natural disasters and stuff. And I think that's bullshit. Like, seriously. Like, one of them, I think it was Rick Perry, got on TV. He was on CNN, I think. And what he said was, you know, we can't progress as a nation, okay, with gay people wearing sundresses at gay pride parades, okay? And I think that that's crazy. I mean, we have better things to worry about, okay? I mean, like, after looking at the news for 2 or 3 hours and watching, you know, a fragile economy, you know, a questionable healthcare system, you know, kids get shot in schools, you know, I think it's kind of refreshing to see something as simple as a man in a sundress. I mean, seriously, like, I don't know. They make Christians look real bad. Like, let me say this, like, I am a Christian, okay? Like, even though I drink sometimes and cuss people out, I am a Christian, okay? Like, I'm doing my saintly duties, okay? And, like, I try to do, you know, what I need to do, you know, to follow Christ, you know? Like, I try to be nice to people and everything. And it's hard, you know, and I'm starting to learn this about myself, too. I'm starting to learn that I'm very sensitive, okay? And it comes from drinking that fucking soy milk, okay? Like, that's what it comes from, okay? It's like, every time I drink it, I get emotional. And it's like, I try to do things the way Jesus wants me to do them, right? You know, like, okay, like the way I interact with people. I'm on the bus the other day, and there was this homeless lady on the bus, and nobody would sit down next to her because, you know, she was smelling, you know, kind of like piss a little bit. And I was like, you know what? This is wrong, okay? And I'm about to sit down next to this lady because Jesus would sit down next to this lady, okay? And I sat down next to her. And I'm mad because she gonna jump up and move, you know? Like I'm the one smelling like the piss, you know? That shit hurt my feelings, okay? You know, it kind of made me realize that these homeless people in this city, you know, they got egos, you know? Because I'm from North Carolina, we have homeless people there, but, you know, our homeless people are respectable. You know, they say thank you, no thank you. You know, they take what you give them, you know, and they stay in the woods where they belong, right? But it's like, these homeless people up here, they off the hook. You know, they do things that homeless people just shouldn't do. You know, like, being homeless, you don't need an ego. You need a house, okay? Like, they do things homeless people shouldn't do. You know, like, flirt with women. Like, seriously, like, being homeless, you don't need to be flirt with women. How many times have, you know, you seen a woman walking down the street, you know, a homeless guy come up to her like, hey, baby, let me play one of your titties right quick. No. But give me a dollar then. You know. Or they got like minimums. You know, you'll be walking down the street when they come up to you like, hey, you'll be like, yeah. You got $5.89. You're like, what the fuck are you trying to get? A gallon of gas? Like, seriously, you know. Because I like for my homeless people to work for their money, you know. And it's like, you know, so they sing songs and stuff, you know. And this one sings gospel music, I give him money. But D.C. is like one of the only places that takes that shit too far, you know. And tries to make them professional entrepreneurs, you know. Because I don't know, they sell these Street Sense newspapers. Have y'all seen that? The streets. That is some bullshit, okay. It's like news by the homeless for everybody else. And like, it's some off the wall shit. Get a copy, Street Sense. I have come up out the metro station, and you know, like, I like for them to put on a show for their money. So, you know, I'm up coming up out of Farragut North metro station. This homeless got real excited. You know, he's like, Street Sense, get your Street Sense newspapers. And I'm like, okay, well, give him a dollar. You know, I gave him a dollar, you know, and I bought a Street Sense from him. He was out there telling me his story, you know, telling me how his next door neighbors, the squirrel, steal his food and all this other shit. And, like, before I left, he was like, let me give you my name. Right? And I was like, oh, okay, well, okay, yeah, fine. He was like, because I want you to add me on Facebook. Right? And I was like, oh, shit, you on Facebook? Because I thought he meant, you know, go like the Street Sense page on Facebook. He was like, no, this is my name, and I want you to find me on Facebook. I was like, oh, shit, are you on Twitter, too? So, you know, I got busy. I didn't get a chance to find him. He found me, and y'all know me and this motherfucker got 9 friends in common. I mean, this shit is ridiculous, okay? I'm serious. I accepted his friend request, and, you know, it's like, you know, I scroll down on the news feed and everything, so, you know, your friend statuses come up, and, like, his were interesting at first, because, you know, they were, like, these very socially progressive links, you know, about affordable housing, you know, helping the homeless, you know, increasing the budget to help the homeless, you know, and build new shelters and stuff. And then I guess he got fired from Street Sense because his next status update was fuck that bitch. And so I got on there a couple of days ago, and it's just going even further downhill. It was just like, you know, just took a shit in the alley, LOL. You know. No, I'm serious. You know, pound sign, public restroom. You know. Ridiculous. Okay, 12 people like that status. Okay. I don't know. It's like, I don't know, because I was homeless growing up, so I feel like I can talk about it, but it's like I wasn't a bum, you know. It's like, you know, we were like homeless, you know. So it's like I'm scared of that happening, so, you know, I'm just starting to take my little steps, you know, into, like, you know, grown in sexiness, I guess. I just moved out of my mama's house, right? So I'm excited about that. Nothing to get excited about. I live with my sister now. And I don't know, it's interesting, you know. Because what I do is now, like, she has Comcast on demand, so, like, you can pick, like, little shows that you watch. And I don't know, like, CNN, they have, like, the CNN, because I'm trying to, like, get all up on my politics and stuff like that. And they have this series of programs, and one of them focuses on, you know, race relations, you know, being black in America. Have y'all seen this? Like, being black in America. And so, you know, I'm finally getting to catch up on it, and it's really interesting. Some of the stuff I can't relate to, because it's like, I've never been sprayed, like, by water hose or nothing like that. But it's like, I can like respect where they're coming from. But the other night, I was looking at this little special on how we kind of interact with each other now, like as we progress. You know, it's 2010 or 2000. It's about 2009. 2010 was when they recorded it. And so they were talking about race relations, you know, and that type of thing. And, you know, I could kind of relate to it because I just started kind of hanging out with white people a little bit, right? Like, no, and I'm not racist, but it's just like, I don't know, it was just like, it just seemed like right after Obama won, that's when having a black friend became a priority, you know, the white people, you know. It's like white friends, I mean, black friends, you know, were like high in demand, you know, so it's like, they were just, you know, grabbing them. And at first it was like, it was nice at first. It was just wonderful at first, you know, because, you know, they would treat me, you know, like I was cool and, you know, because I'm black and, you know, stuff like that. And then it got kind of frustrating because it's like when we would go out, they would be, you know, trying to, like, force me to be black, you know. And that shit got hard, okay, because it's like, I can't be black all the time, you know. It's like, no, we would be in the car, you know, like driving around, you know, D.C., and they'd be like, I know you know where the weed is, you know. That's kind of hard, you know. You can't put that type of pressure on me, you know. But it's like, I don't know, so it kind of made me examine my, you know, relationships with white people, my white friends, you know, because it's like, you know, like the way we kind of still have our stereotypes about each other, you know, and it's like I kind of, they learn some things about black people, like we don't smoke weed all the time. All the time. You know, we don't all eat fried chicken all the time, you know. And I learned some stuff about them. Like, you know, like I learned some white people can dance, you know. No, because some of that stuff y'all be doing, like this right here, like sweeping the floor, you know, taking the thing down off the... I don't know. No, but like, you know, all of them, you know, they cool people. You know, some of them can dance, you know. Not all white people are racist. That's, of course, that's a lie. You know, what else? I don't know, you know, but I did learn some stuff, you know, like some of the stereotypes are true, okay, like all white people are rich, okay, they hate paying taxes and they drink a lot of Starbucks, okay, those three are true, you know, but it was like kind of hard, you know, because it's like they would be trying to force me to be black, and you know, I can't be black all the time because like I need a job and stuff, okay, and so like it would be kind of hard, you know. Because it's like, case in point, you know, we'll be in the car, you know, late at night, you know, and we'll be riding around. They'll do stuff, you know, like cock my hat to the side, you know, put in a Tupac CD and push me out the sunroof, you know. Case in point, we outside this club one night, you know, we about to leave, and so all of us were like totally shit-faced, like drunk, and one of them was about to fight, you know, so before we leave the club, one of them was in the parking lot about to fight, and I'm sitting in the car trying to get myself together, and all I can hear is, hey, you better not mess with me, okay? I got a big black guy in the car, and he'll kick your ass. And I was like, no the fuck I won't. You know, they be trying to, like, force me to play basketball, you know. And they think that's cool, but they don't understand there's a lot of things that white people do that black people love to do. You know, like, catch cabs, you know, have good credit, catch cabs, catch taxi cabs. Okay, no, I don't know. Like, the stereotypes thing is hard because, you know, if you can't tell, I am one of the gays. Like, I'm one of the gays. I mean, hello, I'm gorgeous. I haven't mentioned nothing about pussy. Hello. I mean, big clue. And it's hard because, like, I don't know, like, okay, first of all, like, people assume that, like, being gay is a choice. And, like, being gay is not a choice, you know. And it's like, I'm what they call a double minority, okay? So it's like, you know, I'm, like, black and I'm gay. So it's like two stereotypes I got to adhere to, you know. So it's like I got to, like, you know, roll a good blunt without breaking a nail. You know what I mean? Like... That shit is hard, okay? And I have this uncle who is, like, really, really homophobic. Like, he hates, you hear me? He hates gay people, okay? He does not like gay people. Like, he hates them. And, you know, he just came back from jail a couple of months ago. So, you know, he thinks he's a Muslim now and all this other crazy stuff. And, you know, he hates gay people. So, you know, like, I'll be in the house, you know, I'll go, you know, make some frosted flakes or something like that. And I'll come out the room and be like, oh, Lord.
look at your faggot ass going to get some Frosted Flakes. Oh, my Lord. You know, and I like to put a lot of sugar on them, you know, like that. So, you know, sometimes people are like, oh, don't you got enough sugar in your tank? Why are you eating some more sugar? You know, it's really some crazy shit, you know. But he loves the lesbians because, you know, secretly he thinks he can sleep with all of them and convert them back and stuff like that. So, you know, I had this one lesbian friend who is everything that I wish a man could be, okay? It's like she can break down tables and put them back together. I mean, she can change tires. Like, oh, my God. She makes my panties wet just looking at her. I don't wear panties, ma'am. No, but it's just she's amazing, and he's absolutely in love with her. Just every time I bring her over, he's always like, oh, yeah, I'm a fuck her. Yeah, I'm a fuck her. Oh, yeah, I'm a fuck her. And I'm like, no, you cannot have sex with her. You know, she's a lesbian. She likes women. He's like, no, 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 I'm going to tell you what her problem is, all right? Her problem is that she's had a lot of fucked up relationships with men, okay? So she thinks that by becoming a lesbian, it's going to solve all her problems. And I think that's a pack of shit, okay? Because I'm a gay man, and I've had plenty of fucked up relationships with men, and it never turned me into a lesbian. Okay? That's all I'm trying to say, you know. Anyway, thank you.
Samson, everybody. No, 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 you need the mic, you need the mic.
Okay.
One of the gays, everybody. Samson.
Yes.
Where is the weed?
No,
I'm
really?
Sorry. I'm sorry.
No, you really want? Because I can hook
no,
you
I'm
up.
No, I'm good. I'm good. Okay. Possible album title. Just took a shit in the alley, LOL.
I like it.
How would Jesus make this show better?
How would Jesus make this show
yeah.
better?
You said you're always trying to be more Christ-like.
Well, I think I did a very Christ-like set tonight, did I not?
You did, and I'm trying to yes. do the opposite. So we need to find a middle ground.
I don't know, like this, I don't know, like, because even though I believe in God, I'm not, like, really religious, so.
It's good for me to hear.
As long as we keep the Republicans, those crazy ones out of here, then we'll be all right.
How can a storm be bullshit?
Why are you interrogating me?
I'll stop. When did you start doing stand-up?
I started about 10 years ago.
Really? How old are you?
10 years ago. I'm 26. So, I'm serious. I started.
You don't look 26.
What, black don't crack, baby?
But you look like a minor.
I look like a minor?
You look like 19.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I wish they told me that shit when I be trying to get my alcohol. Like, that would be nice.
What bottle did you buy for the storm?
Oh, I had some, what was it? It was some wine. I had some Pinot Grigio. Is that? Oh, yeah.
Good job being a stereotype.
This is, I just can't win, can I?
10 years, really?
10 years.
Who is your ultimate tour? Who would you open for? Or who would open for you?
That is a good... It would have to be somebody really, really fucked up. Like, I definitely would want to be, like, in the midst of a lot of chaos.
Okay.
Like, I don't know.
Why?
I don't know, but, like, just definitely, like... Like, I would have loved the tour with Amy Winehouse, like, and just see her, like, bust somebody in the head with, like... But she died. I don't know. Maybe.
Maybe drugs work?
Maybe. I don't know. Well, I sell them, so I mean, I guess. Whatever's right now.
You're funny. drugs are fun.
They are.
Aren't they?
I mean, they are. Like, you should see. And they get you good deals, too, because I'm in the neighborhood with the crack kids and, you know, batteries, $2 for $3. I mean, so.
How often are you buying batteries where you need consistent battery deals?
I mean, they just, you get them. T-bone steaks? I mean.
Do you use the batteries as like a hammer to pulp to tenderize the steak?
No, that's ghetto.
Yeah, that's the ghetto part. Not buying batteries and steak. Same place? Same guy?
Oh, it's about 2 or 3 of them.
Okay.
That sell them.
What neighborhood?
Rotate. Well, I live in Bladensburg now.
Okay.
But I go stay with my mom sometimes in Southeast, so of course that's where all the deals are.
Yeah. That's what everyone knows about Southeast. Lots of deals there.
Lots of deals.
Is D.C. good for you? Should you be somewhere else doing comedy?
Well, I'm from North Carolina, so anywhere away from there, fabulous. Because I'm from, it's more people in this room than it is, like, where I'm from. Like, it's just, this shit will freak them out. And if white people, too, it will freak them out. They'd be like, why are you in there? No, because it's still, like, very segregated and closed-minded. And,
So anywhere away from there, it's just, this is beautiful. Like, oh my God, I feel important.
You are important.
Well, thank you.
You're very, very funny. We're going to end this interview with a question from the Book of Questions, Love and Sex. Please pick a number between 13 and 228. It's an arbitrary number.
That's hold on, don't pressure me. Give me a second. I'm sorry. What number should I pick?
26. Thank you.
26.
26 it is.
Okay. Oh God.
Oh, this is so stupid.
Please don't be about drugs. Oh my God. Okay.
Kind of. You could lie, by the way. If you caught a long-term relationship virus, parentheses, LTRV, and parentheses, that would kill you if you stayed in a romantic involvement for more than 6 months, how do you think your partners would differ from those you now like? Do you think you would end up spending more or less energy on sex and romance?
I don't get that either.
So the question is, you can't be with anybody for more than 6 months or you die or something.
Oh, is that supposed to be aimed at gay people or something? Like, we stay in relationships for more than 6 months. I mean, hello.
I don't know. Maybe.
No, but 6 months is like the golden anniversary for gay guys. Okay, what was that question again?
I don't know. If you caught a long-term relationship virus that would kill you if you stayed in a romantic involvement for more than 6 months, how would you think your partners would differ from those you now like? Do you think you would end up spending more or less energy on sex and romance? What they're asking is this. If you couldn't date someone for a long term, would you look at partners differently, potential mates differently?
I would have to, wouldn't I?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a stupid question. Thanks for doing the show. Time to plug. What do you got coming up? Let's plug.
Well, I have a cooking show coming up. Yeah. Okay, fine. Stereotype. No, I do have a cooking show coming out. It is a, it's kind of like a comedy gay-themed cooking show for everybody to watch.
And of course it's a comedy gay-themed cooking show for everybody. How could it not be?
No, it's called Cooking for Bitches Who Want to Keep Their Men Happy. Okay? No. So it's like a lot of crazy recipes, you know, like cunty cornbread, collard queens. Stay away from my man, potato salad. What else? I got a documentary coming out this winter, and we already recorded one of the scenes. So, because I perform in the Bible Belt, so I go down there. I travel with two big lesbians. I feed them barbecue. They protect me. And
that's your album title.
Feed them lesbians.
I feed them barbecue. They protect me.
That's a good one. I'm going to write that one down. And so what we did was we went down, like I went to Tennessee, Oklahoma, Ohio, and Mississippi. And Mississippi was really scary. And so what we did was, because I was scared to sleep in the hotels and stuff. And plus, you know, it's like being a comedian, they pay us in chicken wings and stuff. So, you know, like we rented an RV. And so we stayed in the RV for about 2 weeks straight. And so what we did was when we got down there, like we were, okay, they were getting high. And we put a big picture of Michelle Bachman and Sarah Palin on the side. And we were just riding through Mississippi, and they were just like, oh, yeah, you know. And that was great. And then, like, when the big black queen stepped out of there, everybody freaked the fuck out, and I thought I was going to die. But y'all got, oh, my God, the documentary is going to be beautiful.
Friend him on Facebook, yes?
Yes, find me on Facebook, Samson McCormick, Samson McCormick. So if you, and McCormick like the spices, right? Okay. I don't know. White people cook with spices, right? I thought, okay. Because I know y'all use fresh herbs and stuff like that, but okay. So think about mussels and seasoning salt, okay? Right? Yeah, Samson McCormick. Find me, okay?
Samson, everybody!
Hey, thanks for listening to You, Me, Them, Everybody. It would be awfully kind of you to consider donating to keep this show alive. But we understand that money may be tight right now. So if you can't donate, please sign up on our mailing list. We promise it's not too annoying. Thanks for listening. And now back to the show.
Samson was absolutely fantastic. I want to do this show in Great Britain. I really want to end up in the United Kingdom for a small amount of time. I think I'd really enjoy my time there. And I've been talking to this guy in England, And I told him if he's ever in town, he could do the show. The problem is he's in town now. So, ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for the world's preeminent culinary eroticist, Percy Von Bree. Percy, thanks for coming to Washington, D.C.
Hep, hep, good morrow, Brandon. Hep, hep.
Percy, you're a culinary eroticist.
Yes, yes, I am. And how are you, my dear boy?
I'm doing a show.
I must say, I've been listening to your recent podcasts. They've been particularly boring.
What's wrong with them, Percy? How could I improve the show?
You could have more culinary eroticism on the show.
Well, then I guess this will be a good start. Did you have anything prepared, or are we just going to chat?
Yes. In fact, I am here to promote my book.
What's the name of your book?
It's a book called Culinary Eroticism, comma, An Eggplant in the Anus.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, just do your thing.
I had a romantic tryst the other day with a 48-year-old woman named Deborah Katz. Her online dating profile said she was trained as both a psychotherapist and ethnolinguist, so I decided to kill two birds with one stone and ask her to dinner. I say two birds with one stone because I wanted very much to go on a date with a woman. And have you tried finding a good ethnolinguist in this town nowadays? I digress. So I brought along this 2,000-page dictionary, hoping it would provide me with an air of intelligentsia, a term that I am not 100% sure of its verisimilitude. Also taking a stab in the dark with this word. I wore a suit with no tie because I wanted to look dressy, but not too dressy. Plus, I've always had an erotic fantasy about meeting a mysterious older woman whilst wearing a suit with no tie. I think it's because I once saw my cherubic older cousin changing before synagogue. Oh, I'm a Jew, I forgot to mention. There are five of us in the United Kingdom. Changing before synagogue. Back to the date. I was set to meet Deborah at the train station nearest the restaurant, but was early, so I went to a Starbucks and studied my dictionary. I learned a couple of words, but I forgot them now. We dined on ethnic foods like sambucha and kombucha, and also moussaka and falafel, sans cutlery, and our bodies became hot and moist with the exotic flavors of the East, the inventors of the Kama Sutra, and the Wii Sex, which is a game for Nintendo Wii. Her turquoise jewel... turquoise and silver jewelry was both
you okay
elegant.
There, Percy?
Yes, my my mustache, as I like to call it, the PT, is malfunctioning.
Continue, just go back to the script.
PT meaning pussy tingler. Her turquoise and silver jewelry was both elegant and beautiful as she brushed her hand gently around her sizable breasts when I would make a witty, intelligent comment, something that I did many times that night. Have you studied the religions of the East? She asked after sophisticatedly grasping a fistful of couscous, flirtatiously rubbing the granules of the couscous down the path of her neckline. Namaste, I replied. She immediately began circumnavigating her love mounds with her fingertips in a counterclockwise motion as she laughed heartily. Ah, this reminds me of the most sublime seminar I went to in Taos, New Mexico, where the Swami Rajastram led us through the most erotic of guided meditations. I nodded as she delved into a story about erotic meditation that soon morphed into a diatribe against Bikram yoga. I find the religions of the East to be both spiritual and erotic, I interjected. She dipped her fingers in and out of her goblet.
How long is this?
I'm almost done with the excerpt. Thank you, young Brandon. Now, where was I? She dipped her fingers in and out of her goblet of local fair trade Pinot Noir and massaged the liquid through her salt and pepper updo. Flushed with sexual arousal, gazing into my eyes. So are you ready? Are you ready for fuck? I chuckled with a half smile. Namaste. She took a broiled lamb shank and brought it betwixt her legs, rubbing herself with it for 10 ecstatic minutes. When she was finished, she raised the shank, now moistened with her female love fluids, and presented it to me. This is for you. I devoured the shank. She looked at me with a tear in her eye. That shank went in both holes. Thank you. Am I off
now? Get the fuck off the stage.
Okay.
Wondering who designed the artwork for this podcast? Gig Posters by Rich created the neat art for this show and a bunch of our past live shows. You can view all artwork online at gigpostersbyrich.com. Thanks for listening, and now back to the show.
This next guy coming to the stage is a member of Deleted Scenes. Nay, in fact, he is the leader of Deleted Scenes. Please put your hands together, everybody, for Dan Schuerman. Dan, how are you?
I'm great.
Is your music anything like that?
It's not as funny anymore.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It used to be funny.
Do you have any music as lewd as that?
No.
That's kind of hard to do, actually. Today's a pretty big day for you. Your album, your EP, is an EP, right?
No, it's a full length.
I only have 6 songs.
That's
in the release I have.
Really?
It's a full length.
Yeah, it's got 11.
Okay, 11 songs.
Is there something wrong with our link?
I don't know, maybe.
Oh, man, I got to go home.
I'll talk to
you guys later.
Pitchfork reviewed your album today.
Yeah, they did.
And they didn't hate it.
They didn't hate it.
That's awesome. Woo. So people that make no music thought you did a good job making music. That's fantastic.
The guy who reviewed it plays music.
Why the fuck do you have to ruin that shit? That's why the band interviews aren't long. Well, all right, pick a number between 13 and 228.
Oh, that's it.
That's okay. It. So you got to play some songs. Prove your worth, Dan.
211.
Why 211?
It's my favorite malt liquor. Is that okay?
I'm sure.
It's awesome. 22 ounces and you're done. You're done for the night.
How long is the night? Like 20 minutes?
No, I mean, it's just, it's like great. It's great stuff.
Okay.
I don't need to get too hammered.
Hey, mate. No, you're responsible with your malt liquor.
Plus, it's like cheap. It's like $1.49.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you get what you pay for. It's a free show, everyone.
All right.
Do you and your partner still have the same roles and expectations that you fell into when you were first getting to know each other? If so, these are awful. In what ways would you now like to change them, and how would your partner feel about that? Good luck. Is she here?
Yeah.
Good luck. You know, you should lie.
Yeah.
Good. That was great. Good job.
Our sex life gets exponentially crazier
every night. Actually, once in the morning and once in the night, it multiplies by itself. That's how crazy it gets. So, no, I wouldn't change it. It's awesome. The all trajectory right. is...
Well, you made a lot of enemies with that statement.
Well, you said the lot.
No, just you were doing so well.
It was
well.
A joke, no.
You were doing... And that's why you're an artist and make music.
I tell the truth, man.
Don't do that. Dan's going to play some songs. Where can people find the album?
Well, it's out on Tuesday. You can buy it on our website, deletedscenesmusic.com.
And what's the label?
Sockets.
Sockets. Awesome local label. Love those guys. Thanks so much for doing this. And you guys are going on tour soon, right?
Yeah, we leave on Monday.
So if you're listening to this and you're not in D.C., go to Deleted Scenes website and find their tour dates and see them, because Dan will be busy having sex with someone and won't be able to email you personally. Dan Shearman, everybody.
Did you know that being an intern for You, Me, Them, Everybody can earn you college credit? We're serious. You, Me, Them, Everybody is currently seeking motivated interns in D.C. and Chicago for just 10 hours of work a week. You'll get real-life, hands-on experience with video editing, booking, promotion, marketing, and creative development. Just visit us at youmeetthemeverybody.com for more info. Applicants should be at least 21 and over and not annoying, but we can kind of bend the rules on both of those. So don't delay. Email Brandon at youmeetthemeverybody.com and start earning the most exciting credit of your college career.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's my pleasure to introduce Dan Shearman of Deleted Scenes.
Hey, y'all. All right. I'm going to play quiet because these allergies are crushing my voice right now. So you're going to have to hush and enter a zone so that you can hear me, if you're into that.
Ordination day, make your father proud as a pig. Make your father smile till he splits his lip. Make your father proud as a pig. Ordination day, make your father proud, make him say, look at that fucker bow, look at that fucker pray. Make your father proud as a gay. last one. This would be a nice last one. I done had my fun. Permanent child, hateful son. Happy intervention. Happy intervention. I done had my fun. Nobody here. See you come around. Well, nobody here's gonna get your back if you turn it down. I wanna see you on the ground. Slack. talk. You turn me on. I can't always say what I want. Hold on.
Everybody, deleted scenes. Buy that record on Tuesday. Sockets Records. Support the home team. Thanks for coming, everybody. You've been absolutely fantastic. I want to thank all of our guests, except Percy. That guy should fucking never write again. Mab, just Mab. Follow her. Go to her website, Samson McCormick. Samson, fantastic. Obviously, Dan from Deleted Scenes. Thanks for coming, everybody, and have a wonderful night.
Follow us on Twitter at YMTE. Friend us on Facebook at facebook.com/youmethemeverybody. And for details on Monday and Tuesday nights at the Hungry Brain, go to youmethemeverybody.com.